And we are going to share some music with you today as well as the message. Come on, Lewis and Linda. This is my baby brother, Lewis, and his wife, Linda.
I wanted to just mention to you before we started to sing that when I came in, Bob Price was telling me what he just read this morning in Leviticus 26, and you may want to check it out. He said that, and we read it together, all the promises that God gives to his people if we obey him. But then, later in the chapter, he talks about all of the curses, if you will, that he has prescribed to those who disobey him. And it sounds so much like our country now. So we just need to pray for our precious America.
The name of this song is Jesus is Calling America.
Jesus is calling America, calling her back to the fold. Jesus is calling America, calling the young and the old back to the faith of our fathers, faith we need in this troubled days. Jesus is calling America back from her sinning ways. Jesus is calling America. Oh, that his voice we would heed. Jesus is calling America. Someday he'll no longer plead. Now while there's time, we must answer at his feet in repentance call. Jesus is calling America. Won't you answer his loving call? Won't you answer his loving call? America.
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 What a message, America. Wake up. This may be your final call. We need to repent, don't we? And now I've asked Sister Delois Ritchie to sing a song that goes along with the message that I wanted to bring to you today. Sister Ritchie.
Thanks.
waiting on the music. Once more, my faults and frailties bring me here, just like before, with strong and loving hands, the pressure is applied. Oftimes I tremble as he puts me through the fire. I'll trust the Potter's hands. He knows what's best for me.
Our children now to go through their class as Ramona goes to teach them. I pray that the Lord will anoint her as they are receiving the word of God. God, make them warriors in the field for you, I pray, and give Ramona the anointing that she needs, and let the children receive as you have planned. In Jesus' name I pray. My message today, I have titled it, Crushed by the Potter. Crushed by the Potter. Before I begin, I would like to just pray again and ask the Lord's anointing, special anointing upon our service, upon the message. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you have anointed us today to receive your word. Help us understand, O God, that you are the potter and we are clay in your hands. I pray that you will help us to be submissive to the things that you have for us. And, O God, to help us to know which it is that we are to resist and how to be submissive to what you have. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Crushed by the potter. Sometimes people assume that God has forsaken them or is punishing them because they're experiencing difficulties or heartache, but that is not true. God has not forsaken you when you're going through difficult times. We go through losses and we say, "Why, God? Why have you turned from me?" And we've heard the little poem that you've heard it before that talks about the person that had the dream of walking in, and he said he saw two sets of footprints. And he said, then it came where there was only one set of footprints. And he said, "God, I don't understand why it is when I went through the toughest time that you forsook me." And the Lord said, "No, I didn't forsake you. That's when I had to carry you." And that's what he does. He carries you through those difficult times. And sometimes we feel forsaken, but we are never forsaken. The potter, we feel like we're crushed, but he has a purpose in that. God may allow a refining fire so that we will come forth as pure gold to fulfill his purpose. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrows to the point of death." Even Jesus understood what it was to feel forsaken by the Father. And he said, "My soul is so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." God had a plan for Jesus to take our punishment and to purchase our redemption. When you're going through something, Let's just wait and see. When we look back, God had a plan. There was a purpose in it all. The Bible says Jesus fell with his face to the ground and prayed. He surrendered to the Father's plan. That's what we have to do. When we're in those difficult and trying times, that's when we fall to the ground or the floor. We bow before him and surrender. We too must trust the potter's hand. He knows what's best for us. Like the song sang, he knows what's best for us. We don't know, but he does know. We see only the temporary, but he sees the eternal. His plan is best. He sees what's further out there. He's got the full picture. He knows the end from the beginning. We know the beginning, and we don't see the end, and we judge accordingly, but he knows it all. We love mountaintop experiences, but they often come to prepare us for a trial. Remember when Jesus was baptized by John, and then immediately after that he went up into the mountain where he was tested and tempted. And we too, sometimes when we have that experience, Jesus, there was the John prophesied and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he had that mountaintop experience. He was introducing Jesus, but immediately Jesus went to be tempted and tested. And so we too, sometimes we go through those when we have that mountaintop experience. And God had a plan for the three Hebrew boys who chose to be thrown into a fiery furnace rather than bow down to the golden statue. The king said, Nebuchadnezzar said, "You either bow down," and he heated the fire seven times hotter. And they said in Daniel, the third chapter, he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, "If you do not worship the golden image, you're going to be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace." then what God, and I say little God, will be able to rescue you from my hand, he said. He was a very presumptuous man, a foolish man. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. He said, but even if he does not, in other words, if he chooses not to, we're still going to stand faithful. And sometimes we try to make a deal with God. If you'll deliver me from this, I will do such and such. But God wants us to surrender to him regardless, no matter what the outcome is. That's what they said. Even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow. We will not serve your gods, they said, or worship the image of gold you've set up. And you know the rest of the story. When they were thrown in the furnace, those who threw them in, the fire was so hot that it killed them. But I'll tell you what, there was someone in that furnace with them. And when you're going through the fiery trial, there is someone in that trial with you, and he will bring you out victoriously. You do not have to worry. 700 years before John the Baptist was born, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about John's ministry. He said, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. John was sent for the specific purpose. His birth was for the purpose to prepare the people for the Messiah. Do you know that God has a plan, even before your birth, for what your life is to be? We need to submit to him, even if we go through crushing times, to be submitted to what he has called us to be. And so John the Baptist, he said, even there, he said, I send my messenger. It is the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. John was a different type guy. You know what? God calls you to something. You may be different from other people. You don't have to conform. You are who God called you to be. And John was a different person. But John knew by revelation when Jesus came toward him, and he was there at the Jordan River, and Jesus came, and John did not know that his cousin was the Messiah. He didn't know it until the Spirit, Holy Spirit revealed him to him. And he looked, and he said, there was a dove over him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he prophetically said that through the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And he declared that he, John, must decrease, and that Jesus, the Lamb of God, must increase. Do you think John knew what that meant? I doubt that he did. He just knew that Jesus was the one who was going to increase and John was going to decrease. And then we know that that in Isaiah, he prophesied the things that would happen, that we would know the Messiah was there. He said, the blind are going to see, the ears are going to hear, and the lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. Isaiah prophesied that 700 years before it happened. But John was there, and so when he preached against the sin of immorality and he was thrown in prison, he was in prison about 6 to 10 months. The reason was because he preached the message of the gospel. He was brought before because he told them, Herod, you don't have any right to have your brother's wife. You're living in sin. Repent. And, of course, you know the story, perhaps. I hope you do, that the wife of his, the wife said, I want his head on a platter. And there's more details in that story. But so Herod brought John the Baptist in, and they severed his head. But before that happened, when John was imprisoned during the months that he was there, you know, it was probably a horrible dungeon of a prison. And John called two of his disciples, and he said to them to go to Jesus and say, are you the one that was to come, or do we look for another? Even John, as fiery as he was, and the anointing of God upon his life, he was so discouraged and he was so overwhelmed. Right then, he said, are you really the Messiah, or do we look for another? And when the men came to him, they said, the John the Baptist, they came to Jesus, and they said, John the Baptist asked us this. And Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things you've seen and heard. The blind see. He was reminding him of what he knew that the prophet Isaiah had prophesied. Reminding them, he said, the blind see, the deaf hear, the poor have the gospel preached. And he said, and blessed is he who is not offended. He said, don't stumble because of you not remembering that, John. Now, some people would say, why didn't Jesus deliver him from that was coming? After all, Jesus had the power to raise the dead. He brought healing, all of that. And yet he did not go to visit John that we know of. He did not tell him, I'm going to deliver you from this. He could have caused the prisons. But John had a purpose for his life. You say, what a horrible purpose. No, we have to surrender. What is it that God has called us to do? John surrendered to that. And so he said, and Jesus said to them, whenever they were taking, brought that message to him about John the Baptist, and Jesus said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? He said to the people, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind, something that was flimsy and didn't stand up for truth and was blown this way and that. He said, what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? No, he was different. He was like a wild man, yelling, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, did you expect to see somebody that would be dressed as if he were going to be in king's courts? And he said, a prophet? Yes, I say to you, he was more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way before you. Jesus said, this is the man that was sent to prepare the way before me. It was prophesied. He said, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What does that mean? Others had looked for the Messiah, but John introduced him, which made him great. He was the one that came and preached repentance. Get ready. And he was a fiery, and they had a great following. People were being baptized, and they were repenting. But there are some that are going to be greater than he because they're going to be under the cross. Jesus had not yet died, but he said, I will pay the penalty, and they will have greater blessings than the old covenant. In Hebrews 8, chapter verse 6, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood because he paid the penalty for your sins and mine. We could not pay that. I heard a young man one time said, you know, my dad is so perfect and he has kept the law and he's done everything just right and his blood could cover my sins. No, his blood couldn't cover. There was nothing, no one but Jesus who could pay the penalty for our sins. And so that's why those who have trust in him are greater. He is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises. Was there a need for the old covenant? Absolutely. It showed us the holiness of God, and Jesus fulfilled it. God had a purpose for John's life. He was born to prepare the way for Jesus. And we may ask the question, why didn't he rescue him? John's ministry and God's purpose had been fulfilled. And John went on. I'm sure that he probably was not aware that the Holy Spirit had spoken through him when he said, Jesus must increase and I, John, must decrease. But that's what we need to say in our lives. God has a specific purpose for us, but we need to allow Jesus to be increased and us to decrease. God does not share his glory. Isaiah the 42nd chapter, verse 8, who says, I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise unto graven images. God does not share his glory with others. We must bow down and be submitted to the potter's wheel, What is it, God, that you want me to be and to do? Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, talks about how Jeremiah went to the potter's house and he saw the potter working on the wheel. The pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in the potter's hands. It was not perfect. And so the potter formed it into another pot, reshaping it as seemed best to him. Sometimes that reshaping that God does to us is painful. Sometimes we're going through a place where we say, God, I cannot take the pressure. But God knows exactly what he's trying to form in you and in me. And so then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he said, can I not do with you as this potter does? And that's what he says to us. Can I not do to you just like the potter does? And like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. God wants us to be submitted, surrendered to his calling and his will. God has called us to be clay in the hands of the potter, and he knows what we do not know. He knows the end from the beginning. I think of other people in the Bible who had paid a great price and to be submitted, surrendered to what God had called them for. What was their purpose in life? Even Mary, we've talked about Mary during this season and how that she was told, you're going to bear a child. She said, how can I have a baby? I've never known a man. And we went through that. But Mary actually had to choose to lay aside her dreams for her future. She was espoused to a man that she loved, a man who was going to cover her, care for her, and she was going to risk that. But she said, not as I will, so be it unto me as you have called. I will surrender to what you're calling me to do. Not only was she laying aside her dreams for her future, she also was laying aside her reputation. She could, and perhaps her life, because a woman who was found pregnant when she was unmarried or just in the act of adultery could be stoned. And Joseph could have done that. We know the story how that the angel said, don't be afraid, take her as your wife. And Joseph was a man also who had a calling, and he submitted to that calling. He risked his reputation as well. And then we remember Joseph in the Old Testament. My, what he went through. His brothers betrayed him, his family. They lied on him, and he was sold into Egyptian bondage. But the Lord elevated him, and he was brought down. And we know how that up and down. And he was accused falsely, and he went to prison anyway. Sometimes we are accused falsely, and we say, why is God allowing this? But he has a purpose. If we say, God, I'm the clay. You're the potter. Whatever you have for me, I'm willing, but I submit, I surrender to your will. God has a purpose for our lives. And so Joseph came out, and he became a great leader, and he became in charge. And you know the story, how the brothers came to get food, grain, when there was a famine. And he saved the nation of Israel. God had a plan. He had to have a man who was willing to stand faithful and to be crushed over and over so that he could bring deliverance to the nation of Israel. What a strong man of character Joseph was. And there were others in the Bible we think about. I think about how that we have to trust the Lord. I think about how that my children, when they were little, and they stand on the stairs, and we have stairs in the house, and they stand up there and say, Daddy, catch me, and no warning, and they jumped, totally trusting he's going to catch them. Well, fortunately, he did. When he was a young man, he was very agile, and he caught them. That's what God wants us to do, trust him. We'll take the leap and say, God, I'm your child. I trust you. In 1 Samuel, God said to Samuel, and it's something we need to remember, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We look at the outward appearance. I remember one time that in a church we pastored in Mesa that my husband prophesied over a man there, and I thought, what in the world is he prophesying? That man, I can't believe it. This prophecy, is it really true? And I said to him, I said, you realize what you, he said, I just prophesied. I don't know how it could be, but I prophesied it. He prophesied to this man who was in the field of technology, kind of in the world, not because of technology, but I mean, he was not a real spiritual man. And my husband prophesied, and he said, God has called you. You will go to the mission field, and you are going to be used by God. He has a calling on your life. And I don't know the exact words. And I thought, I don't know anybody any further from that kind of a calling than that man is. But you know what? I lived to see it happen. The man resigned his work, not because of that prophecy a few years past. He resigned and he went to the mission field. He went to Mexico. And he married a woman that was also a missionary. And it was fulfilled. God has a calling for our lives, and we do not always see that. We look on the outward appearance, and we make a judgment. This guy would make a good whatever, and this guy wouldn't. But God sees differently. Let us pray like David prayed. I think about in Psalm 51, verse 10, where he said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David said, renew a steadfast spirit. David made a lot of mistakes. But there was one characteristic, I think, that carried David, and that was his humility before God. When he sinned, he repented, and he said, God, I have sinned. Whereas Saul said, well, I did this because he justified his sin. Saul was rejected because he said, I did it because it was for the people's benefit. I saved this in spite of the fact that God told me to destroy these animals and destroy this king. I saved them because I want everybody to know. You see, but David, when he sinned, and he sinned gravely, he did some terrible things. He caused a man to be murdered by trying to cover his sin. But when the prophet Nathan came to him and told him the story about, he said there was a man that had, you know the story perhaps, he had 10 sheep. And he decided he wanted to make a sacrifice. And he stole the man who had one little sheep. And he went out and stole his sheep and sacrificed it instead of one of his own. And David, when he heard it, and David said to the prophet Nathan, he said, where is that man? I will take his life. Anybody who is so terrible. But that's exactly, and Nathan looked at him and put his finger right in his face. You talk about boldness. God had a calling on Nathan's life. He was bold, and he said to David, you are the man. David could have had him killed and tried to smother out, but he didn't. David repented, and he said, that's exactly what he did. But he did suffer. God did bring punishment upon him. The child died, and there were other things that God said, because of that, this is what's going to happen in your life. And we know that David was, he was not allowed to build the temple, that God had given him all the plans for it. He wanted to build a temple for God. And he said, this is my desire. I want to build a house for God. And God said, no, you're not going to build a house for me because your hands are bloody. You've caused death. He said, but your son, you've collected all of the plans and you've collected the materials and your son will build the house. But I'm going to build a house for you, David. And, of course, we think of a temporal house. But God was building a kingdom. Through the lineage of David came Jesus, and God had a plan for David's life. And so God knows that we're not perfect. We make mistakes, but he wants us to surrender to his plan and to his will. He wants us to be humble before him. When it seems like it's too heavy, too great, as Jesus said, he bowed, he fell on his face before the Father, and he prayed that God would deliver him from that. He said, if you cannot, then I will drink this cup. And we have to do the same thing. God, Whatever it is you're trying to accomplish through this crushing, let it be accomplished. And Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, there's that familiar passage. The Lord says to Jeremiah, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. He says it to you and to me. I know the plans I have for you. It is plans not to harm you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that's what God says to us. There's a song that my husband wrote many years ago, several years ago. He was known for sitting at the piano and just start singing. And this is one of those. It says, from glory to glory, you're changing me. Open my eyes that I may see. From glory to glory, you're changing me into the likeness of your Son. Many times those things that hurt were being transformed into Jesus' likeness. He said, crushed by the potter, my vessel is new. The old man has died and Jesus shines through. From glory to glory, you're changing me into the likeness of your Son. From glory to glory, you're changing me to walk in your love, that I may be filled with your power to set men free in the likeness of your Son. From glory to glory, you're changing me little by little, that I may see your plan for all eternity and the glory of your Son. From glory to glory, made in your image, I want to be filled with your power, with authority, filled with your glory, that Satan must flee from the presence of your Son. God is changing us from glory, from one level to another. But the only way we come into that change is through crushing. We are crushed many times because God is working something in our lives. Amen. I encourage you, if you're watching this broadcast today, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've not given Him your life, maybe you're going through some tough times, maybe you're even bitter because you say, this is what God did to me. No, God didn't do that to you. He's not there to try to destroy your life. He's there to build your life. I say to you, make Him the Lord of your life, and He will bring you through every difficulty for His glory. From glory to glory. From one level, He'll change you into what He wants you to be. That's what I want, is what Jesus wants me to be. More like Him we want to be. More of Jesus and less of me is what I would like, and that's what you will want if you accept Him. I want to pray with you. Will you just agree with me if you want to accept Christ as your Savior? Agree with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we need a Savior. I thank you that you came to earth and died on the cross that we might be redeemed, that we might have our sins forgiven. Thank you, Lord, that you have paid the penalty for our sins, that we no longer have to live in shame and degradation. And I thank you, Lord, that if we give that to you, you take away the shame. Today, Lord, we choose to give you all of our sins and our iniquities, our shame, and we receive your grace and your redemption. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, and we thank you that you write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you to begin to read the Word of God. Read the Bible. Begin to read about Jesus. You can restart in John. That's a wonderful place to start, the life of Jesus. Jesus was the Word in the beginning. And I encourage you, and we thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a blessed week. I know that after we go off there, usually we have a time where if somebody needs special prayer, this is the time that we'll call the elders and the people that want to pray with you, and we would like